Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. We are talking about the greatest time of human history, which is the time you and I happen to live in right now. So we're going to this fourth lesson about the end times. You know, there's so many great scriptures, you know. Esther was told by Mordecai, said, perhaps you have been born for such a time as this. And so I tell people, I said, are you concerned about the end times or last days? And I've seen all the movies, the scary stuff, and I was around when the little pocket things that, you know, you'd hand out to testify about the end times. And I read the Illuminati 666, the Rockefeller Files. I read all the scary stuff. I was part of that years ago. And I realized something after I've been reading and studying and going to meetings with people. I'm not wasting more time on this. I had a great pastor who said, you know, Joe, I'm not on the planning committee. I'm on the reception committee. I thought, that is one of the greatest statements I've ever heard. It's not a cop-out. It's just like, once you get into the scripture, you realize we're part of the body of Christ. What's going to happen to us is not what's going to happen to the world. And what's going to happen to the world is scary, downright scary, and it's going to get ugly. But that's not for us. We're the church age. We're at the end of the church age. It's still going on. If the Antichrist is here, he cannot manifest himself yet because the church is still here. Now, once the church is removed, that opens that seven-year mess, you know. We'll talk about that in another lesson. But today, we're just going to talk about what they call the rapture of the church. And I've had people challenge the years, say, well, there's no word rapture. No, but the concept is in there, and it's very clear. So I'm just going to read a few things about that today, because there is a first and a second coming. The Bible talks about in Thessalonians, Jesus is going to come down, and we're going to meet him in the air. You can meet him where? We're going to meet Jesus in the air, you know, in the air. And so when he comes back for the thousand-year reign, his foot will touch down on the mountaintop where the Dome of the Rock sits right now today, and he'll walk across into the Jerusalem, and he'll rule and reign out of Jerusalem for a thousand years. We'll rule and reign with him. The Bible's very clear. God never leaves us in the dark. He always tells his people what he's going to do. And so it's very encouraging. It's very good. And so what we're going to do is just kind of open up with a statement by Billy Sunday. Now, when I first got born again, Spirit-filled, got in the ministry, I love to read about other people who are big in that age when the turn of the century in America, when revival broke out. 1948, the Holy Spirit was poured out everywhere. Israel became a nation in 1948. There's revivals going across America, healing revivals, tent meetings filled up, you know, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, A.A. Allen. I mean, it was wild. Why? Well, the church age had been born. And up to that point, nobody understood about a third of the scripture. It didn't make sense. There was no Israel. Nobody spoke Hebrew. They were scattered to the four corners of the earth when they rejected Jesus. And God scattered them. And they sowed salt in their land so it wouldn't grow anything. And it became, you know, the Palestine. And there's so many different words for that. We'll get into that in another lesson. But that is still God's people, and that's still God's land. So what we're doing here is we're going to talk about what happens when all this kind of culminates into the church age. Well, there'll be a trumpet, and there's something where we go up to heaven, and we'll go eat dinner for 7 years, saddle a horse, we're going to come back with Jesus. Then Jesus will come back to the Valley of Armageddon, and blood's going to run as deep as a horse's bridle from hundreds of miles. It's going to be nasty. Jesus does not lose. He's not coming back. It's not a parade. He's coming back to win a war that he's already won. And so the devil just thinks he's doing something. And we'll get to that one of these lessons about how just bizarre the devil is and what he thinks. He has no wisdom. You know, he thinks he does, but he doesn't. So today we're just going to talk about this one thing that people talk about called the rapture. Now, I'll read what Billy Sunday said, and I really like what he said. This is a quote from Billy Sunday. He said, "The Lord does not come to the world at the time of the rapture, but only reveals himself to the members of his body." And so it is biblical. He comes to the world when he comes to Jerusalem for the thousand-year reign. He didn't come to the world before then. At the time of the resurrection, he is only seen by those who believed on him. When? When he came out of the grave. Everybody saw Jesus. Gentiles, Jews, Romans, Greeks, they all saw him. But when he came out of the grave, nobody saw him except those who believed in him. Now, that's real important. You need to understand that. God's not a show-off. And said, Pilate, the high priest, those who crucified him, did not know he was risen. There was no local news channel. No, there was no CNN or Fox News. Nobody knew. They didn't believe it. So, at the time of the rapture, The world will not know that he has been here. Only we who have knowledge will know when he comes for the members of his body at when he comes back at the close of the tribulation. So there's going to come a rapture. He's going to come for his people. So let's go through the scriptures. Now, if you got pencil, you ought to write this down. These are real good. It's real simple. It's not complicated. The Bible's written for simple-minded people, not for deep-minded people. You know, God always presented the gospel in a very easy way. That's why children love to be around Jesus. He was fun to be with. He was easy to understand. It was not some deep thing. It was a very simple message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. So if you've had family members die and you've had a, you know, funeral and you buried them somewhere and they're in a graveside or cremated or whatever, don't be upset. It says this. We're not going to grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. How can he do that? Well, your body only lives a certain amount of time. The Bible says eventually we'll get a new body that'll never die. Our spirit and our soul lives forever. The minute there's conception in a mother's womb, whatever that is, that baby is going to live forever. Whether it makes it out of the womb or not, that baby will live forever. I had a very good friend that had his wife had three miscarriages, and then they had two children. And so when you get to heaven, I said, you don't have two children, you have five. You have three miscarriages, you got babies in heaven. They're grown up, and you're going to meet them. You're going to recognize when you get, oh, mom, oh, dad, they're going to recognize you. God is a very creative God. He says this, so we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together we will meet them who are still alive and remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be caught up in the clouds. Where? In the clouds. Where are we meeting the Lord? In the air. We're going to meet him here like in Texas or Oklahoma or you know, Zimbabwe. No, we're going to meet him in the air. Nobody's going to know. When Jesus comes to the church, only the church is going to know it. Only the church is going to hear it. People will just realize, man, where's Frankie? I hadn't seen him in a while. Well, he went to heaven. But the world won't understand that, nor will they believe it. So then said, then we'll be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other these words. What's he doing? Paul's telling the church of Thessalonica. Hey, encourage everybody. We're not going to live forever. We're going to live in heaven. And eventually, he's going to come get us. We'll go up to heaven. And, you know, that's just an incredible story. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Verse 51. Let me reveal to you this wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. And so you start realizing, what's going on? It's called a rapture. Now that word's not used, but that is what it means. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus, it's talking about Jesus. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is Jesus preaching. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. So when everything's ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. What's he talking about? Going to have a rapture. Going to go to heaven. Going to have a house. Going to have dinner, going to saddle a horse, come back with Jesus to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's really good. Somebody ought to make a movie about it. I think they did. I like this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, we are already God's children. He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. We do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. What? Now, when Jesus comes back, the rapture church, we're going to see him as he really is. He doesn't have a flesh and bone body. He has a resurrected body. That's a body that's resurrected. The Bible says, when we get to heaven, we'll see the nails print in his hand. We'll see the nail print in his foot. But his eyes blaze like fire. His voice sounds like thunder. It's a resurrected body. It is great. You got to read Revelation. It'll encourage you. Just don't read it late at night until you get through it, because you might misread some of the stuff. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 20 through 21. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Where's your citizenship? Heaven. Have you been there? No. But I got a piece of paper. It's legal. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them and the glorious bodies like his own. What kind of body are you going to get? One like Jesus. Never die, never get sick. Never wrinkle, never crinkle. It says, use the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. I mean, it's just going to be an amazing time. Now look at this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Revelation 3, 3. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold on to it firmly. Repent. Turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come suddenly and unexpected as a thief. Now he's telling the church, stay alert, stay awake, be watchful, look for my return, think about it, talk about it, preach about it, be excited about it. I'm going to come and get you. And he talked about, you know, there's so many illustrations in the parables in the Bible, you know, the virgins that were ready, the ones that weren't, the ones that had the oil lamp filled, the ones that didn't fill their oil lamp, and they weren't ready. They weren't ready when the master returned. You need to stay ready. What does that mean? You need to stay in church. Church is not a building. It's the body of Christ. You need to belong to a body somewhere. Show up. Volunteer. Pay your tithe. Mow some grass. Teach a class. Usher. Greet. Go to intercessory prayer. Be part of the body of Christ. Is it perfect? There are no perfect people, because there's no perfect body. But there is a body of Christ, and we do have a great job. And we're preaching the gospel, and laying hands on the sick, and feeding the hungry, and helping the orphan, helping the widow. There is a God who's moving on this planet, and he moves through humans. And so it's an amazing time. I like this. Before the tribulation, believers will be raptured. There's no instruction to the church, by the way, about the tribulation. If the church is to go through the tribulation, there should be some instructions and warnings of some sort, but there is not. Now, I'm a student. I've been a student of the Word of God for over 40 years. That doesn't mean I know everything. I know some things. I'm learning more every day. I grow more every day. But you do realize something. There's something going on. There's no instructions about what the tribulation, what we should do. We won't be here during the tribulation. We're going home for 7 years. We won't be here. Think about it. We are waiting for Christ, not the Antichrist. And wait, looking for God, our God's wrath. Throughout God's word, there are warnings of future events. He never fails to warn his people about what's coming. God never fails to warn us about what's coming. And as always, the events occur. Those who heeded the warning were saved in one way or another. From Abraham to Moses, he always warned his people. So, give you some of the scriptures about that. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living things. So what do you want me to do? I need you to build a boat. Noah didn't know what a boat was. There's no water. There's no lake. There's no river. He didn't know what a boat is. And it's a big chunk of wood. So I want you to build this boat. And that took. You know, he's wearing a thing for almost 100 years. It's like he's still having to preach, keep his day job. But he's building this massive boat. Now, there's no electric saws. There's no buzz saw. There's no lumber yard. Man, this thing's by hand. Amazing. Cut the trees by hand, you know, plant them down by hand. Man, these guys are working. I mean, this isn't just lumber you order somewhere. This thing was hand-built. Oh, Genesis 18:17. God said, shall I hide from Abraham about what I'm going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah? So God said, listen, Abraham doesn't live in Sodom and Gomorrah. His nephew Lot does. So God says, angels, but I say, hey, what are you going to do? Well, I can't do this to Sodom and Gomorrah unless I consult with Abraham. He's my servant on earth. He's my ruler on earth. How can I do this unless I let Abraham know? So as a Christian, I'm going to know if something negative is going to happen. He's going to let me know. God said to Abraham, angel said, listen, we're getting ready to blister this place over here. And so Abraham did the whole thing. Well, what if there's 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous? He got down to 10. The problem was there were only eight righteous. Lot and his wife and their kids, there were only eight people that were righteous. And so God destroyed the city. Genesis 26, verse 2. God told Isaac, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Now, Isaac's going down there. Why? Because drought. There's drought in the promised land. The land of more than enough. The land of milk and honey. The promised land, what's wrong with it? Well, there's a drought. Why? Well, because when Abraham first came there to the promised land, there was no drought. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He'd make that long trip up there to the promised land. And God said, when he got there, God said, look, everywhere you can look, I'm going to give it to you. Walk. Everywhere you walk, I'm going to give it to you. And it was a magnificent, fertile piece of land. Nobody lived there. He said, whoa, God, this is great. Well, after he's been there for a while, a drought came. And he's thinking, no wonder nobody lives here. It's a stinking piece of land. So Abraham runs off down to Egypt. When he's down there, it gets really ugly. He tries to give his wife away twice. You know, it's a mess. So Pharaoh runs him back home. Well, then his son's going down. Drought hits again. And he remembers, hey, Dad, tell me about this drought. Man, what a crummy piece of land. So now Isaac is heading down to Egypt, just like his dad did. He gets halfway down what we know as the Gaza Strip. Now, it's a desert. It's not a fertile. And so God speaks to him, now, where are you going, Isaac? He said, well, God, I'm going down to Egypt, man. We need water and some fertile land. This is a sorry piece of land. And God says, no, stay here. I told you I would bless you in this land. Not down in Egypt. I'll bless you in this land. Well, man, there's a drought. I don't care. I will bless you in this land. So the Bible says Isaac stayed. Now, he's in a desert. People are just don't have nothing. Can't grow anything. Got no water. Cattle all dying off. Your sheep are dying off. The Bible says the next year, Isaac, his cattle increased 100-fold in a desert. His sheep increased 100-fold. His finances increased 100-fold. He got so stinking wealthy that the neighbors came one day and ran him off. And it's like a knock on your door. What is it? The neighbors are here and they're mad about something. Is there a problem? Yeah, we need you to move out of the neighborhood. Why? You look too good and you're too blessed. You make us all look bad. They ran him off because he was so blessed. They ran him off because he's so blessed. And of course, he kept digging up dad's wells, you know, finding more water. And so it's a great, great story. But God said, I'll bless you where you're at, not where you're going, where you're at. I'll bless you. I bless you because I'm me and you're you. Woo, that's good. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 12. 2 Kings 6, 12. Elisha the prophet tells the king of Israel, the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. The heathen king's got a problem. He can't seem to whip the Jewish people. He says, they always seem to know. They know when I'm going to do something. They have a spy. They've got a spy in my palace somewhere. And the guy says, no. Well, this is crazy prophet. Crazy guy, and said, angel tells him everything you say. So whatever you say, you whisper, and an angel's going to tell him, you got to be kidding. And that's a whole great story in that one. 2 Kings 6:17. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, he's talking about a servant. They woke up one morning, and of course the king's been looking for him. He's learning all the secrets. So we got to find this prophet. We got to kill him. We got to find this prophet and kill him. So one morning, the servant gets up early, goes out to the tent, gets some water, I guess cooks some breakfast, and looks, and all of a sudden, the enemy and their chariots all around them. They've been surrounded. The prophet and his servant have been surrounded by the enemy who's been looking for him, wants to kill him dead. And so that's what's, then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, because his servant said, Master, we're dead, they're around us. So Elisha got real calm and said, no, Lord, open his eyes, let him see what I see. He said, open his eyes, let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. You know, they made a great movie, The Chariots of Fire. But this is real. He sends the blindness to me. He said, what is it? And Elisha, there be more with us than be with them. Then the Lord struck all the enemy blind, and Elisha's servant led them into the Jerusalem, into Israel's headquarters. Every man held a donkey's tail in front of him. They're blind. They can't see. A whole army can't see. How are you going to get here? I'm going to hold the donkey's tail, and the guy behind me is going to hold my donkey's tail, and the guy behind me is going to hold his donkey's tail. And as soon as they got inside the gate of the city, God took the blindness away. They realized, we're surrounded by our enemy. We thought we had the enemy surrounded, but God has surrounded us. God will not leave us nor forsake us. Those scriptures are true, but it's not a movie. The Bible says you'll walk through the fire, but you won't be burned. You go through the water, but you won't drown. God said, I'll be with you. I didn't say hell would make a run at you. I said, I'd be delivering, not redeeming. That's why the four men in the fire, you know, they said, look, Meshach and Abednego thrown in the fire. And said, there's a fourth guy. There's a fourth guy. Well, it's the Son of God. He's in the fire with him. And they came out of that fire. The people that threw him in the fire died from the heat. The soldiers that threw them in the fire died from the heat. But all of a sudden, the king said, well, they're walking around in there. And so they came out. The Bible said they didn't have the smell of smoke on them. Why? God was with them. It's a true story. It's a true God. He works off of true faith. Faith speaks. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is an amazing time to be alive. There is a rapture coming. God will save his people. In the meantime, we're not worried about what's going to happen. We're busy serving other people, helping other people. Why? Are you worried about you? I'm not worried about me. God's got me covered. I'm going to be concerned about other people. I'm going to be a blessing to other people, not me. I don't worry about me. God's got me covered. I like this. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to the evil ways, God changed his mind. He did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. Now, Jonah's gone down to Nineveh. Jonah wants God to pour down hellfire damnation on him. He wants him dead because they've invaded his country several times. He doesn't like them. He's already tried to run the other direction. That's when they had to throw him off the boat and the whale swallowed him and spit him back up. He finally gets down and he preaches one real short sermon. Repent. Repent. The Bible says from the king to the lowest servant, they all repented in sackcloth and ashes. And God held off the judgment for 400 years. For another 400 years, the judgment didn't come. Why? They repented, which is all God wanted them to do. And it's a great sermon. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. 2 Chronicles 20, 15. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen to King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord said. Now, they're surrounded. The enemy's outside. They're all going to die. He said, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I don't know how many times I prayed that through my life, working my way up through the food chain, the electrical industry, and then on church staffs. Battle's not mine, it's God's. The Bible says, roll your cares over to me, for I care for you. Oh, that's good. Amos 3:7. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants. God's not going to do anything. He's going to let you know. What's going to happen? I don't know, but God will let you know. Are you worried about it? No. God let me know if I need to know something. I'm going to have sweet sleep at night. You worried? No. If I need to know something, God will let me know. It's a promise. Well, that's good. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah built a large boat to save his family. He obeyed God, who warned him about things he had never seen or that never happened. By faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world and received the righteousness that comes by faith. Matthew 25:13. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. Mark 13:32. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels. Not even the Son himself. Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. 1 Chronicles 12:32. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for them to take. God's going to let you know what you need to do about your family, about your business, about your neighborhood, about selling your house or selling your car or getting another car or starting another business. God's going to let you know. We are sheep. He's our shepherd. We'll hear his voice. The voice of a stranger we will not follow. God will not leave us in the dark. I like this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow the deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. What's going to happen last day? Well, there's going to be a great revival, but there's also going to be demons preaching lies. God said, I set for you life, death, blessed, curse. You need to choose. We get to choose. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome doctrine. They will follow their own desires. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. And is that not true in today's society? What are people chasing? We're chasing myths and new age stuff, chasing everything except God. Then the last scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come. What? People that will make fun of Christians, mock church, make fun of the church. Scoffers will come, mocking the truth, following their own desires. They would say, well, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? They're going to say it. Well, I've heard about Jesus coming ever since I was a kid. He's not here. He's not coming. I've heard that my whole life. They'll mock it. They'll make fun of it. It says, from before times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. No, it's not. It's a moving machine. And God gave us a manual called the Bible to read and to keep up on. Meditate in the Word day and night, and then you'll prosper and good success. We live in the greatest days of human history. God has left us with an instruction manual. We know what to do, when to do it. We have nice, sweet sleep. There's so many angels around us. God's going to surround the righteous with the shield of divine favor. We have divine favor. We have angels that watch over us. God will talk to us. We go to sleep. We get up and walk during the day. God will never leave us. I don't care what it looks like. God can't lie. There's so many angels around you right now, you cannot count them. This is a great time to be alive. So let's not back up and pull back and get scared. Let's use our faith. Let's grow in the things of God. It's going to get exciting where we're going next. Stay tuned. God bless, guys.